Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. In this episode, you're going to get one incredible leadership practice that will transform your relationships, energize the people around you, and most importantly, transform you. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. In this episode, you're going to get one specific communication tool that's going to energize the people in your life and work, transform your mindset and how you approach your work, and it's guaranteed to improve your quality of life. And I know that's a lot of promises, but here to help us with this incredible skill is author Joel Zuckerman. He's written for decades about golf, travel, and sports for all sorts of different publications. And this year, he released a book that I'm very excited to share with you in this episode. The book is called Gratitude Tiger, and it's all about a specific practice that's going to create more joy for you and for others. Joel Zuckerman, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul.
Thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm grateful to be here.
Well, I imagine that you have to say you're grateful if you wrote a book about gratitude, but I know that from our previous conversation before we hit record that that's a sincere sentiment. And I am grateful that you have written this book and that we're able to share it with the audience today. You know, one of the things I love about this book, Joel, is I think, listen, everyone listening, I mean, everybody listening to this show, they care about human-centered leadership. And they know they should have gratitude, express gratitude. And you dive deep into the how and why that's important for us and all the benefits. And we can touch on some of those. But one of the things I love about this book is you get into the nitty gritty of how to express gratitude in a really meaningful, significant way. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about the journey that got you here? Why did you choose to write this book the way you did?
So, David, the beginnings were very inauspicious. In 2013, I decided to write a letter of gratitude. I learned about it in a big best-selling self-help book from the 90s called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. That book is full of small chapters, two-page chapters. One of the chapters said, write a heartfelt letter. In my mind, I transposed that chapter title into write a letter of gratitude. It wasn't until I looked at the book again a year later, I realized the chapter title was actually Write a Heartfelt Letter. So in 2013, I was a busy writer, journalist, author, books in the planning stages, books that were out, promoting books, doing magazine stories. And I thought, well, I could write a heartfelt letter. I can write a letter of gratitude. It's just an intellectual exercise. I sat down to write the letter. It never occurred to me I would write a second letter. I just wanted to just spread my wings. I could write travelogues. I could write memoir. I could write history of golf courses. I could write spa reviews, restaurant reviews. So I figured I could write a letter of gratitude or a letter of heartfelt appreciation. I decided to write to someone in my industry. I got his address, stamp, envelope, mailbox. And when I put the letter in the mailbox, I was taken aback with the feeling of warmth and connectivity that occurred with this one-to-one communication. I knew that he would be shocked to open up his mailbox in 3 or 4 days and find a letter from me expressing my gratitude to him for his position in my life. And I found that feeling so intoxicating that I wrote another letter and another and another. Then I wrote my sister. Then I wrote my brother. Then it was 20 letters after a year and 50 letters after 2 years. I put a pinch of confetti in the 50th letter, I recall, to this day. All these letters, by the way, are on the computer, word processed, typewritten, sent by mail. And then I got to 100 after 4 years, and then it was 150. And after I wrote 150 letters, I said I should write a book. And I knew I would call that book Grateful, a book of my first 180 letters. I wrote 30 more letters. It took me another 18 months. And then I published the book Grateful. And I thought I was maybe done writing letters of gratitude, like this project is complete. But then I wrote another. And then I wrote another. And then when I got up over 200, about 220, 240, I said, I should write a book about what this does for you. And that's the key point, David. When I write letters of gratitude, the recipient is theoretically delighted, over the moon, humbled, elated, but all the letters I write are for me. That's pillar number one. You write letters of gratitude because it makes you, the writer, feel good. Pillar number two, it makes the recipient feel good. But that's why that's pillar number two. And pillar number one is writing letters of gratitude makes you feel good about yourself. That's at the heart of Gratitude Tiger, my latest book.
And it really does. It's one of the things that I was struck by, so many things as I was going through your book. First, I was consciously remembering letters of gratitude I've received in some cases many decades ago, and I still have them and the impact they had on me. But as you're talking about the impact on us, the writer of the letter of gratitude, from a leadership perspective, one of the things that I have seen in my own experience and working with so many leaders is that when we approach our people and the teams and our colleagues and even our manager and all the people that we're working with from a position of gratitude, it's a game changer. Everything that's being done becomes a gift. No one has to do any of it. And so it really is a massive mindset shift that, and as you describe it in the book, like it calms your demeanor. It really does change you as you start consciously expressing gratitude, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. And let me share with you a thought. You read this in the book. The workforce is now moving, heavily tilting towards millennials and Gen Z workers. Baby boomers are phasing out. And every day, more millennials and Gen Z workers take over managerial positions. The number one request, the number one desire of millennial and Gen Z workers, this comes from Deloitte Consulting, by the way, is to be seen, valued, and recognized. When I learned of this a couple of years ago, it really blew me away. Because when I came into the workforce, like a lot of people who are baby boomers, your number one concern was salary. How much am I getting paid? And then you couldn't bring it up right away, but in the back of your mind is how much vacation time does this job offer? But the worm has turned, and millennials and Gen Z workers, now more than half the workforce, want to be seen, valued, and appreciated as their number one prerequisite in a job, their number one hope and goal. So showing gratitude to your workers, it doesn't have to be a bouquet of roses, a singing telegram, and a speech in the break room. Small examples of gratitude to your people will help engender more loyalty, build morale, and hopefully help with the concept of employee retention.
Yeah, without a doubt. When you're talking about gratitude, you know, you go through seven benefits. You mentioned two of them already, the benefit to us and how it makes us feel, the benefit to the receiver. What else are among the benefits of gratitude? Maybe some of the things we don't think about as often.
Now, let's distinguish. Are we talking about gratitude in general or writing letters of gratitude?
Let's get specific. Writing letters of gratitude. Let's go with the specific what we're talking about here.
I'll give your listeners in 2 minutes what I crescendo to in 45 minutes when I speak. That's my main profession, is speaking to audiences about gratitude. But let me preface that, David, by saying being grateful in general is good for your health. It helps with your mindset. It can help with your blood pressure. It can help you find better sleep patterns. These are all benefits of gratitude in general. But regarding my, and people say to me, you know, who are you to speak about this, to lecture about this, to write books about this? Very simple answer. I've written 285 plus letters of gratitude. And it has changed me and made me a better person. It's made me more equanimous. It's made me more even keeled. And that is the message I share. I used to speak professionally about golf. And then I said, wait a minute, 98 or 99 people out of 100 don't give a fig about golf. But everyone should conceivably care about gratitude. So that's how I built my keynote. And then I wrote Gratitude Tiger. So that's a very long-winded introduction to giving you the seven pillars of expressive gratitude. And this, of course, is regarding writing letters of gratitude. Pillar number one, I mentioned writing letters of gratitude makes you feel good. Pillar number two, obviously makes the recipient feel good. Now, when I speak, I go into detail 2 or 3 or 4 minutes on each pillar. Here, we'll just bullet point. Pillar number three is it makes the recipient feel good about you. You send, David Dye, you send off a letter to someone you haven't been in touch with in 10 years or 20 years. Their opinion of you isn't going down. Can't guarantee it's going up, but it's not going down. Pillar number four, it's a creative process. I don't care if you're a novelist, a poet, a screenwriter. Writing a letter of gratitude, no matter the length and the complexity, is at its essence a creative endeavor. Pillar number five is it turns your focus outward. Everyone is self-involved. Five words describe most of humanity. What's in it for me? What's in it for me, my family, my business? When you write a letter of gratitude, you're thinking about somebody else. Pillar number six is the ripple effect. If you write someone a letter of gratitude and you blow their doors off, they might think about it for a week or two, and maybe they'll write you a letter of gratitude, but more likely, they'll write someone in their orbit a letter of gratitude. That's the ripple effect. Seventh and finally, the legacy effect. Only two things can happen when you write a letter of gratitude. You will die before the recipient, or the recipient will die before you. I've written so many hundreds of letters that I've lost about 20 people that I've written to, including your namesake, the golf course architect, Pete Dye. When I heard someone passed that I had written a letter to, my first thought was, I'm so glad I let them know they were important to me before they were gone. Mm. Those are the seven pillars. And you got it in 2 minutes. Normally, you got to sit through 45 minutes.
And how powerful those seven pillars are. Now, these are specific to writing letters of gratitude. So I think it's important that we define, when you're talking about a letter of gratitude, you mean something very specific. And there are things that letters of gratitude are not. And then they're what it actually is. So let's get specific about what do you mean when you're talking about a letter of gratitude?
Very good. I'll tell you what a letter of gratitude is not. It's not a thank you note. It's not written for a dinner. It's not written for a party invitation. It's not written for a gift. It's not an email, a text, an emoji, a GIF, a TikTok, a Snapchat, or the app du jour of what's going on now in the minds and hearts of younger people. It is a letter. I use the computer to spare people my handwriting. And also, much more importantly, I have this archive of 285 letters, what I've written to who, when, and when I sent it. Of course, it can be handwritten, and handwriting a letter, of course, is a lovely personal touch. A letter of gratitude is a couple of things. One, it's unexpected. Okay. So a thank you note is often, it might be expected depending how you were how you were brought up, right? And I know if I'm speaking to people in their 30s and 20s, what I'm about to say might as well be Swahili, okay? But people of a certain age who were raised a certain way were taught to thank their host, thank their gift giver whether it was a gift, a birthday gift, a wedding, a party invitation, a dinner invitation, even if it's just a text or even a phone call the next day.
Yeah, it's a default.
It's a default. And a letter, a thank you note is sometimes expected, right? If I had you to dinner and you sent me a thank you note that came in the mail, or you sent me a text or an email the next day, or I got a note in the mail from you a week later, I wouldn't be surprised. Because, oh, that David Dye, he's a well-mannered fellow. I had him to dinner. He sent me a thank you note or even a thank you email. A letter of gratitude, by contrast, is unexpected. It comes in the mail. And the other, it comes unexpectedly in the mail. And the other difference is, as opposed to me thanking you for something specifically, I'm thanking you for being part of my life. I'm grateful to know you. Now, there may be components. I might start a letter, David, thanks for having me on your podcast. It was great to talk to you. And I really appreciate you allowing me to share my thoughts on this subject. But let me tell you more. We've been friends for 25 years. And I remember the time that you helped me change a flat tire on the interstate. And boy, oh boy, our wives are great friends. So even though you and I have never met, I'm using this as an example. Sometimes a letter of gratitude can start with a specific point of thanks and then segue into something deeper and more general than just thanks for the dinner, thanks for the gift.
And I thought that that was such an important part of your approach here, is it's really seeing that person like in their entirety and recognizing who they are and the role they played in your life in some fashion. And it's a much deeper, on a depth of gratitude, deeper depth is that, I guess that's redundant, but it's got that depth of gratitude to it that's more than just the reflexive thank you for the thing.
Exactly. And you're not reflecting the, if I was to write you a letter of gratitude, it's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of me and how I feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every letter of gratitude is an intensely personal reminiscence, a thank you, a moment of appreciation. It can be, let me segue into a very important subject, because some of your listeners are thinking, oh my God, I'm not a writer. I can't be waxing rhapsodic to my cousin, to my old professor. That professor changed my life. My cousin was my best friend, but I don't have the skill set to share it with them. So let me share something with you before you even ask the question. One of the
chapters, you know, I'm going to ask that question, so you might as well go for it.
You want me to go?
Go do it.
It's important because I'm a professional writer, right? Gratitude Tiger is my 10th book. I've written 285 letters of gratitude. Writing to me is like breathing, like brushing my teeth. I've never had writer's block, not much of it, when it comes to writing letters of gratitude. But most people aren't wired that way. Most people don't have the time, the bandwidth, the vulnerability, the gregarious nature. So there's a chapter in Gratitude Tiger, David, called Seven Paragraphs, Seven Sentences, Seven Words.
Chapter 10, listeners, chapter 10. You don't want to miss this one.
You're the only person I know who's ever read my book. If my mother was still alive, she would have read it. But no, I am getting very nice reviews on Amazon. So I don't want to undersell it. So my point is this. My letters are seven paragraphs long. And I say that, you know, as a generality, they're not exactly seven paragraphs. They're a full typewritten page, 400 words. And they are sometimes streams of consciousness. I go off, like I just said, with the for instance letter with you, that time we changed my tire under the interstate. But when I write a letter, I'll go off and talk about incidents in the past. You can write an incredible letter in just seven sentences. Emily Post is a great etiquette expert. She said a wonderful thank you note is three or four sentences. So seven sentences is absolute, you could argue, overkill. But what I want to say to your managers and your owners and your CEOs and the bosses in your listening audience, you can show profound gratitude in seven words. Let me give you a couple of examples. And by the way, this does not have to be handwritten. It can be email, Slack, text, interoffice memo, seven words that'll blow your people's doors off. Ready?
Ready.
This department would not run without you. That's it. You are the best hire we've made. I'll give you one more. You are the cog in the machine. You express a sentiment that powerfully, that succinctly, you are going to elevate your relationship with that employee. Now, couple of caveats. Just give the gratitude of its own accord. Don't say, you are the cog in the machine, looking forward to the Peterson report by day's end. Let the Peterson report sit for another hour or till the next day. Just hit your people with a shot of gratitude, and their mood, their loyalty will elevate. And it's only going to take you as long as it takes you to speak a single sentence.
Not long at all. A massive reward for that. You know, I know that there are some managers that and leaders that I've talked to who would express concern about sharing a sentiment that strong for worry about vulnerability in the future if that person's performance declines or this or that or the next thing. And I imagine you've got something to say to them if they're concerned about that kind of a future risk.
Oh, God. You're like a mind reader. You're like, this is like a ventriloquist act. You know what to ask me so I could say it back to you succinctly. I was doing a presentation for YPO in San Diego, Young Presidents Organization. Super, super hot big hitters in the room. Guy walks up to me afterwards. He says, Joel, that was incredible. I love your stuff about gratitude in the workplace. But if I'm that complimentary towards my people, they're going to hit me for a raise. So I thought about it for not even 20 seconds. And I said, Roger, you can spare them seven words. Can you spare them 14? He goes, yeah. I said, try this. You are the cog in the machine, but there is always room for improvement. He thought he got such a kick out of that. And that's a joke and it's true, but it's funny. And a lot of funny things are true and true things are funny. But the profundity, the intensity of my examples can be muted. You don't have to say you are the cog in the machine. And by the way, you don't have to keep it to seven words. I just keep it for the sake of symmetry. Seven paragraphs, seven sentences, seven words. You can provide a sentence or two, a couple of 8 or 10 or 12 word sentences that are a little bit more muted. David, want you to know you're doing great work. You're improving by the week. Okay? It's not quite as pithy as me giving to you in seven words, but it also takes you 20 seconds and it's also less profoundly positive. And you made a great point, David. Well, what if their performance declines in the next quarter or in the next year, and you've exalted them to the high heavens? So my point is, you can dial it up or dial it down based on the circumstance. And seven words, seven paragraphs, seven sentences, my seven pillars of expressive gratitude, it's just a mnemonic. It's a mnemonic for the way I speak and the way I write. It's not hard and fast.
And it's a great way to think about those examples too. In the book, so you just gave us a couple of the seven word examples. The book also has the seven sentence examples, some several good ones. Just I want to point listeners to in chapter 10 there. Joel, as we're getting closer to the end of time here, I want to point us to chapter 14, which I mentioned at the top of the show. We get into the nitty gritty about how to do it. And you've got, again, for folks who might be reluctant or unsure how to go about, boy, a full page letter and how do I do that? You've got 10 concepts that listeners can use to jumpstart, or that you use to jumpstart your letters of gratitude. And it's almost a framework to get the juices flowing and make these easier to write. Can you, maybe not all 10, but you want to share a couple of those with us to just give listeners a taste of what's in store for them when they open the book?
Couldn't tell you all 10. I've got no idea. I don't have the book open in front of me. But I will say this regarding that subject. Before I jump into that, It's not what you say. It's that you say it. Not everyone is Shakespeare. Not everyone is William Wordsworth. Okay? My point in this book, David, is that you shouldn't let punctuation or vocabulary or syntax or penmanship preclude you from writing letters. It's not what you say, it's that you said it. People want to be acknowledged. You don't have to write chapter and verse, okay? You don't have to write seven paragraphs, and you don't even have to write seven sentences. You can write two or three or four sentences and really make someone's day. And more importantly, or as importantly, make yourself feel great that you've extended this effort. Now, in answer to your question, some concepts to jumpstart letters. Easiest one is reference the surprise. Dear David, you haven't heard from me in what, 6 years since we were at that convention in New Orleans? Well, you've been on my mind, and I want you to know that I'm grateful to you for this, that, and the other. So you reference the surprise of the letter. Here's another thing I do often. Reference a date on the calendar. Dear David, it's almost Thanksgiving. And in this time of giving thanks, I want to tell you how important you've been to me. You can do it for Christmas. You can do it at the start of summer. David, summer's around the corner, and I think back with gratitude at those crazy summers we had between college and going off into the real world that gap year. I took this so far. One time I wrote a letter to a buddy of mine on Veterans Day. I said, "Dear Jimbo, it's Veterans Day, and as one of my veteran friends, I want to thank you." Another concept, and I touched on this earlier. You can start a letter of gratitude thanking someone for something. David, those tickets you got me at Red Rocks were wonderful. What an incredible venue. You're such a thoughtful person, and I appreciate you. But this is not just a thank you for those tickets to Red Rocks. I also want to thank you for being in my corner these last 15 years, et cetera, et cetera. So to recap just these three, number one, reference the surprise. Number two, tie it to a holiday, or better yet, tie it to a personal day for the recipient. The best example is a wedding day, a milestone birthday, a retirement day, a change of career day. Say you had someone working for you that left your industry to go be a professor or to go in the Peace Corps. You could write them a letter of gratitude. Bill, you have been such a wonderful colleague for 12 years, and now that you are going off to Africa in the Peace Corps, I want to tell you how grateful I am for everything you've done for this organization. So you tie it to a personal date or a holiday. And the third thing is you start with a specificity, invitation, an introduction, and then picture it like a funnel, right? An upside down funnel with the thin part on top. And then you widen into more general sense of gratitude. So those are three of the jump-starting techniques.
And there are seven more in the book, which I want to encourage listeners to get this book, get a hold of it. If the joy available to you, you can hear the joy coming through in Joel's voice. If the joy that's available to you in what, as you're listening, like, yeah, this is a practice I want to get a hold of, get a copy of this book, Gratitude Tiger. Our guest today is Joel Zuckerman. Subtitle, Creating Joy Through the Art of Impactful Letters. And I think that joy shines through the conversation here, Joel. Joel, where can listeners connect with you, find the book, follow up?
Very simple. The book and the website are the same. Gratitude Tiger. Tiger is an acronym. It means tapping into gratitude engenders rewards. When you tap into gratitude, you will be rewarded, whether you're writing letters or just feeling gratitude on a daily basis. So the website is gratitudetiger.com. The new book is Gratitude Tiger, and you can get it wherever fine hardcover books are sold.
All right. Well, I encourage you again, get out there, get Gratitude Tiger, and start writing those letters of gratitude and all the benefits that come with that. Joel, one last question before we go. You touched earlier in the conversation on the benefit that leaders and managers have in terms of expressing and writing those letters of gratitude to employees and the benefit to corporate culture. I know that you've been thinking about also the benefit to the leader or the employee who expresses gratitude in terms of potential for their career. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I can, and this is not in the book. This is new research I stumbled across. You remember Harvard, Harvard Community College, before they kicked out the international students? Well, at Harvard, there's a business school, and the business school developed four archetypical employees. Everyone wants the lovable star. Nobody wants the incompetent jerk. But in the middle are two categories of employees that you'd be surprised that most managers want to promote. There is either the lovable fool or the competent jerk. Believe it or not, David, most managers want to promote the lovable fool. Why? They feel they can be mentored, guided, and leveled up to become lovable stars, or at least lovably and competent. They feel that jerks are jerks. So the question becomes, how do you become more lovable? Let's start by becoming more likable. Well, how are people likable? Sometimes if you bend over backwards and take on shifts for other employees, you're more likable. If you're gregarious, if you're a backslapper, if you are an extrovert, these are ways that you can be more likable. But not everyone has that personality, and not everyone is married to their job. They've got responsibilities to their family, to their hobbies, and they're not going to work, burn the candles at both ends. So how can you become more likable? Be more grateful. Express gratitude to your coworkers who are showing you the ropes on a project that you are not familiar with. Express gratitude to your supervisor and your supervisor's supervisor for allowing you to sit in on meetings, to learn a new software program. Expressive gratitude will make you more likable, and a more likable employee is one who will be promoted more quickly.
Joel, it's been in a short amount of time here, we're recording about maybe 30 minutes. This has been a masterclass for myself, for our listeners here. And you have given us so many different specific tools that we can use to really deliver on the promises we talked about up front, energize the people around us, transform our own mindset, how we're approaching our work. And I think we delivered on that guarantee to improve your quality of life. I mean, who doesn't want more joy, the equanimity that you're describing, all of it. Thank you so much, Joel, for being a guest with us and sharing this wisdom today. I really appreciate you.
David, I appreciate it. And if I can add one last thing, the new book, Gratitude Tiger, is tinsel on the Christmas tree. What I really do is speak. I speak at nonprofits, at corporate events, at associations and organizations, and anyone who would like to hear my message in full flower can also reach me at the website, gratitudetiger.com.
And so if that message would be appropriate for your business, nonprofit, government institution, whoever you might be, reach out to Joel and hit up Gratitude Tiger and take advantage of that opportunity as well. All right. Our guest today again, Joel Zuckerman. The book is Gratitude Tiger. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. Thanks as always to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, and Laura over at Brooke Marketing for the work on this episode. Until next time, practice fierce gratitude and be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.